much for joining us on another FN Podcast About Sitcoms episode that is here right now with us. And guess what? Dan is back, everybody.
Thank God. To rein us in.
I think next time we should just have Dan do it alone versus the three of us doing sure. it without him.
Well, I mean, he is a nominee for a podcast.
Thing
of Oh, but first, I'm Michelle Lykowski, Luke Ward, Stan Lykowski, and Dan McInerney, who is getting a nominee for best podcast ever.
Thank you. We already lost, by the way, but I appreciate it. Yes, we were a nominee. The award already happened, but we were a nominee.
You know what? Some say it's just an honor to be nominated.
It's just an honor.
Yeah.
It was a huge honor to be nominated. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was the award? Like what was it?
It's bullhorn.fm, which is a website that promotes podcasts, and it's actually been very nice to us in the past for promoting
Except
on
not
their
this
socials.
Time.
But we were nominated for Best Music Podcast, which is nice, and we were up against podcasts that I love, like Bizarre Albums, which is a great, very fun podcast. We were nominated and honored to be nominated. We were very excited that anyone even listens to our silly, dumb little show
fun.
That we do.
It's such a great one.
Yeah, I mean, you got three listeners here.
Dan, just to keep you guys cutting edge, quick thought. The Story, Song, and Wordle Podcast.
It is funny you say that. I got sucked into Wordle this week.
So great.
After being told 1,000 times to play, I gave in and I was like, this is the most fun thing ever. And I play it every day now.
Now play Wordle for a month. Now there's Quirtle, which is four of them at once. We'll talk offline about it. It's insane. Anyway, people who love Wordle and you have even more time to kill, Quirtle, Quirtle.
I've been playing Turtle. That's where I hide in my house till everything bad goes away.
You were really cutting edge on that. You've been doing that. Yeah. You've been doing that pre-pandemic, as a matter of fact.
For years. Yeah.
I've been playing Myrtle, your next door neighbor who spies on you.
Anyway, let's wrap this up. Anyway, this was a good one.
Such a good show.
Yeah.
This is great.
I can start with things I've watched this week. I know you're excited. I know you want to hear it. You ready?
I do.
You guys? I love rom-coms in a way that is probably problematic.
Okay.
I watched Marry Me. Yes, I did.
What's Marry Me?
What? It is on
Seriously?
Yeah.
You guys don't go outside ever?
Luke was very clear that he played Turtle.
Yeah, I mean, I played Turtle.
Yeah.
I play Turtle.
Which is also when you've got a poop and it goes out.
That's true. Yeah.
Michelle's had her coffee today.
Yeah, I think what I love, by the way, is they probably did very targeted marketing to people. And you're like, hey, it wasn't in every podcast and thing that you read? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Wait, what's Marry Me? I don't know.
Luke Ward. Nope, that's you.
Nope.
Luke Wilson.
No, it's Owen Wilson, isn't it?
Owen Wilson. And Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
J-Lo, thank you.
Yeah.
So J-Lo is a Spanish pop star who's crossed over. She's getting married to another Spanish pop star who I think is crossing over, and I don't think they didn't go into that.
What do you mean by crossing over?
Oh, into as opposed to being just Spanish now.
Mainstream stars?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they are the Spanish J-Lo and this dude who's I think named Bastille, but that doesn't make sense because that's more French. And they are going to get married on national television. It's J-Lo's fourth wedding. We were just talking about him, the Paris Hilton NFT.
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon goes on and makes a lot of jokes. So clearly it's an NBC joint. Because the Today Show is also featured. Anyway, so she finds out right before they're going to get married on this. They're making jokes about how many times she's been married. And it's like, that's the thing. So I know I'm making it too long. So they go up. They have a hit single called Marry Me. And that they're going to get married to this song. And then right before she's going up. And there's this British dude who I really like. Stanny, who is it? Do you remember?
Oh, the guy who plays in from Game of Thrones. He's the guy that was like the heavy guy that Jon Snow's sidekick. He's great.
Jon Snow's sidekick. Yeah.
I can't think of his
name. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He's really making a name.
Samwell Tardis.
Sam.
Yes. Yeah. So she's going up on the lift on, I'm assuming MSG, because it's all in New York. And Sam says to her, oh, dude, your fiance was caught snuffing your, that would be killing, kissing your assistant. And then she's like, I can't marry this guy. So she goes upstairs. Owen Wilson is in the audience because he has a daughter.
Are you recapping it in real time? Is this going to be a 90-minute recap?
This is all you need to. And then, okay, so gets up there, sees Owen Wilson, decides not to get married to the other crossover, and says, all right, I'll marry you. And then for some reason, in front of everybody at MSG and 3 million audiences who are suddenly watching this thing, and a lot of social media is very big, he's like, yeah, I'll marry you, because she looked like she was having a hard time. So he gets married to them, and then they're like, and then the whole movie is they fall in love. The end.
Got it.
Wow. Was this in theaters? Where did you see
theaters
this
and Peacock?
Oh, Peacock. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
I would not have paid for it, although I did pay for the holiday, and I'm still paying for it because Stan won't let me.
She made that was the movie she chose for me to have to sit through once in a theater. Still hard feelings about it.
One movie? You guys have been to one movie your whole life?
She fucked up the first one. Why would I go back?
I guess. No. Well, she reenacts them whenever you don't see them. So this is.
Fuck all of you.
Little side thing. I did see Spider-Man. That's not what I was going to talk about. Fantastic. Unbelievable.
It's great.
I saw it and I was like, okay.
You just thought it was okay? I didn't mean.
Yeah.
We got to go back to Marry Me because I can't speak about this.
So what's interesting is the dog. Okay, go on.
Well, I can say this much. I did not watch this. I actively chose not to watch this, and I actually applaud myself because every time I passed by, I did. I hugged myself and I fell down. Every time I caught like 2 to 3 seconds of dialogue, I was like, I can't fucking believe somebody got paid to write this shit. Like,
what are we talking about?
Marry Me. I'm still talking about Marry Me.
Oh, you're still talking about Marry Me.
Yeah, just passing through the room as Michelle's watching it. And make no mistake, Michelle was like, this is terrible, as she's eating her popcorn and watching it. So she knows what she's in for. But it is... I can't believe Major Star signed on to this shit. But whatever.
And Sarah Silverman is in it. Sarah fucking Silverman, too.
Anyway, it probably will make more money than I can ever imagine, and good for them. So I will angrily pivot to what I watched, if everybody wants to know.
Yeah, do it. Go for it.
I watched Murderville, which I loved.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
Murderville, it's a 6-episode Netflix thing with Will Arnett as the linchpin in it. It's really an interesting concept, and I found out in the credits, apparently, it was a BBC show first.
Of course it was.
But he takes 6 people who he thinks will be good at improv. And I don't mean good at improv like they're butt-gusting funny. I think he just thinks that they're very, like, smart, capable people. And each episode, he solves a murder, which the setup of the murder is pretty hackneyed. But that's okay because everybody's so... buys into it so much that you're having fun. But the person he invites, and in the first episode he invites Conan O'Brien, they're like detective trainees. They are 100% improvising. They have zero access to a script. So everything is set up around them, and they are, of course, obviously pimped out at certain points and at certain time. And it's just really funny. And Will Arnett, because he has to react to them, man, that guy's got chops. Like,
yeah,
he's
funny.
Really, yeah, rolls with everything. The funny thing to me, like Marshawn Lynch, the football player, was another one of the guest detectives, which I was like, wow. It was surprising to me because honestly, Marshawn Lynch did just as well as Ken Jeong, if not better. They weren't the thing that I really took away, besides Conan, who was just like a master class of his improv is excellent and his like character play, but like. Nobody was trying to be funny. Everybody was just answering honestly and reacting. Nice. And it was great. It was really funny. It was also interesting to see because I'm going to get his name wrong. Kuma, he's Pakistani comedian.
Oh, Kumail Nanjiani?
Oh, Kumail?
Yes.
Yes.
He, yeah. You could see he was like a little resistant to when Will would put him in particular things. But like, I found that very interesting because you would think, oh, they're all in, blah, blah, blah. But I guess everybody still has their natural barriers of what they're comfortable with. But anyway, I tore through all six episodes. I loved it.
Oh, go check that out. No, I really want to see it.
It was great.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of
fun.
And
then watch Marry Me.
No. Why do I mean, I feel like I was there when you described it. So.
I missed a lot of beats.
We
he was a math
ears.
Teacher. She taught them to dance.
Wait. So, I'm sorry. You buried the lead. He's a math teacher? Oh,
she taught them to dance.
That's
so
a horse
that
of a different color.
Math.
A lot of cosine talk.
So fucking bad.
Luke, what did you watch?
What have I been watching? I've been watching The Great.
I
don't know anything about it.
Elle McPherson.
Nope.
Fanning.
Elle Fanning. I was going to say Elle Dakota Johnson.
Elle Dorado.
Elle Fanning. Yeah, because it's Dakota. Elle Dakota Johnson. Spanish for
the Dakota Johnson.
It's very good. It's basically. It's called like the sometimes accurate portrayal of Catherine the Great.
It's very fictionalized,
but it's the story of Catherine the Great in her marriage. I say this like I know anything about Catherine the Great. I don't. I don't know her history at all. But
I don't know her.
I don't know her, but it is about her. She gets married to Peter, who's the son. He's the emperor of Russia, and I believe the 1800s. Nope. But Peter, no, he's the son of Peter the Great, but he's not so great.
Okay.
He's just kind of like an asshole that everybody listens to, and it's basically they use kind of modern dialogue, and they all have British accents, even though they're all Russian and German or whatever. And
Elle is from Georgia.
Germany.
No, in real life she's from.
Oh, in real life she's from Georgia. Well, couldn't tell. Conyers,
to be precise.
Oh. Isn't our pal Ashley from Conyers?
Yeah, that's how I know.
Oh, well, there you go.
And Jack McBrayer too, then.
Yeah.
The Fannings are all from. It's good. It's very good. It takes a while to kind of get started, but it is very good. It's very funny and very graphic.
What network or whatever streaming did you?
Oh, it's on Hulu.
Hulu.
And you did see Marry Me? Because it's on Hulu too. Oh no!
I thought Peacock. Yeah. what was I gonna say? Oh, by the way, I saw Spider-Man as well. I did like it. I liked it quite a bit. Spoilers for... Has anyone seen it? Do we want to talk about it really quick?
Sure. I mean, I think it's out long enough that if you don't want to listen, just hop ahead like 2 minutes.
I'm going to go get a cup of coffee.
Yeah, Michelle has not seen it, so...
Oh, well, I mean, you know,
I don't care to.
Okay. Well, the spoiler. When the three Spider-Men show up, Joe Spider-Man, Kent Spider-Man, Bill Spider-Man. No, that was what I really, really, I was like smiling and having a good time. But I was like, it took a while to get there. And I was like, it was like the worst kept secret. And I was get to that part. Let them work together.
I really, really like Tom Holland. So he's probably my favorite one. So I didn't mind any of the story leading up to it. I enjoyed the whole ride.
See, I loved Andrew Garfield, especially in this movie, because he looked like he was having the most fun out of all of them.
Yeah, he did.
And as soon as he came in and had that energy, I was like, oh, I wish I had a little bit more of this. Because there's
his movie sucked, unfortunately.
Yeah. I thought his movies were weird.
His villains were terrible, number one. That's not on him.
Yeah,
I mean, he also, to me, is the least Peter Parker-y, only because he's a little too cool for Peter in my, like, just reading comics for 40 years. I am not bashing him. I actually really like him. I'm just saying I did find it a little bit, like, he struck me as, like, he didn't have that Peter downtrodden dog aspect to him or whatever you want to call that.
See, I thought that Tobey Maguire, I liked him, but he also just...
Well, that jazz club scene, irredeemable.
Oh, no, but, like... he was just dead behind the eyes for most of the movie. And
he just kind of was like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know, man. He was just like,
well, they all signed on for like another bunch, right? Yeah, we can. We can. We're staring right through your brain as you show us Tobey Maguire. But they all signed on for more movies, right?
Oh, I don't know. Did they?
I think so, Dan. I think you would probably know the
best. I don't know. I mean, it sounds... I mean, I was going to say about Tobey Maguire, like, when you're saying dead behind the eyes or counting his money, I also feel like the Marvel machine, it's like the Godfather at this point, where it's like, you either sign on or you...
get crushed under
brains
it.
Out. Like, you have no choice. Yeah. So it's like, you either get crushed by the machine or, you know, at some point, everyone will have been in a Marvel movie.
Yes.
Like,
oh, yeah, no,
any kind of an actor.
I think I was in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, I thought I saw you. Exactly. I thought I saw you. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So. And so, yeah, and there were just little plot things that I didn't understand or blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it's certainly not without its flaws. I mean, I saw it opening weekend with a crowd that was hooting and hollering.
Yeah,
so
that
might
have been
to not be fun. It also, I mean, for me, the thing was like, it was the comic book thing of, you know, somebody was like, hey, it'd be fun if all three Spider-Man actors met each other in a movie.
Yeah.
And like, let's just yada yada like how we get there, which is what comic books do all the time.
Sure.
Like, oh, by the way, we did a spell and now we get to see this cool thing.
Right.
So, you know, I was fine with that just as like someone who's seen that 1,000 times before in comic books. But yeah, there definitely was a lot of like, wait, how did we get here?
Yeah, and also the ultimate sacrifice is like Doctor Strange can't pluck what he could have plucked one or two minds to remember him before, but he can't do it now at the end. Whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, again, it's just like yada yada magic.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah,
well, I don't know. Yeah, I think also I had seen it way after opening weekend when Omicron kind of faded and we, your friends went, and so it was like a quietish theater, and so like when it was over, we were like, okay, wait a minute. What about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? You know, we're like, oh, yeah, that doesn't, I don't understand.
Doesn't track.
Anyway, it doesn't track. But when they get together and they're, you know, all the stupid little jokes and Tobey Maguire calling Andrew Garfield, like, you're amazing. You're amazing. Yeah. I was like, that's really great.
I did also like, I think they worked hard to make, like, Tom is clearly the neophyte. Andrew has seen some shit. And Toby has reached like a place of peace.
Yeah.
Like I loved that, like three pieces along the road, you know?
Yeah.
That was cool.
I thought for me, the other amazing thing was that this movie retroactively makes those movies better.
I agree.
Because there are problems with those movies and with the characters of Spider-Man in those movies. But now it's like, well, it's not a problem with the character. They're just a different version of Peter Parker.
Right.
So that's why the Tobey Maguire one is like angrier than he should be. And, you know, so it makes, you know,
it's
again,
like Jake Johnson.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes.
See, I relate.
Yes. You're right.
I know too.
I can feel it from here, Mo. I can just, no one in out there in podcast land can hear it, but I can feel it. Just know.
I'm just going to say the thing that I watched,
please,
and the only thing
Dan.
I watched. I watched Boba Fett, and I only wanted to mention it because along a similar vein, I have never seen a show that I have enjoyed so much while simultaneously being completely baffled by what they are doing on this show. It was very, very odd, although the pieces were great because, like I've been saying, if you told 12-year-old me, like, oh, there'll be a show that explores like the in and outs of the Tusken Raider culture, or like there'll be a show where a Rancor fights a giant robot, I would have been like, oh, this must be the greatest show of all time.
Right.
And so it, you know, again, all the pieces were awesome. And those two episodes of The Mandalorian were great. Why they were in the Book of Boba Fett, I have no idea. But I enjoyed everything that happened while, again, simultaneously being like, I don't understand what they were thinking when they made this show. But
I guess I got to watch a lot of that now because I haven't watched... Okay. I didn't watch The Mandalorian or Boba Fett yet.
Oh, my gosh. Mandalorian was awesome.
Yeah.
Dan, to your exact point, if you had told 12-year-old me that there'd be a TV show starring The Flash, I would have been like, did I get to be king of the world and call the rules?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. As I also said, if you had told 12-year-old me, I was like, well, I guess everything's going great in the future. Yeah. Sounds like there's no problem.
Yeah. Yep. The future we were promised has come.
Exactly. But all right, well, we can get started because this
has been 12 hours.
Yeah, this this is by far our longest. What did
we
I
might
watch?
Have to chop some stuff up?
Yeah,
dancing. Happy, we did the top 25 sitcoms
we
list
sure
from AV Club,
did.
And then we added our own ones. This is the last one, which was my pick, which was the IT Crowd
the
season 2
pick.
Episode 1. Which is The Workouting from August 24th, 2007. And, we can jump into it. I will just say my perspective on this was I had gotten the DVDs probably like 2 or 3 years after it aired, so maybe it was like 2010. Watched all the DVDs, and this is, like I said, the first episode of season 2.
Do you remember how you heard about it first, Dan?
I think someone had just told me. I mean, this was very...
It wasn't as underground
was at the
as
time.
The Office.
No, well, this certainly was not... I think it was very popular in Britain. It wasn't as well known here.
Yeah.
I think I had some pretty deep comedy nerd friends who were like,
yeah. So it's similar to
my buddy Brian loved it. He raved about it, but it was a show that I didn't pay attention and hop on.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, the big difference between this and The Office is that this is definitely, it runs more cartoon logic. Like,
yeah.
the reality is much more elastic. And this this particular episode is probably the most straightforward, because there are ones that, I'm going to jump ahead real quick, but that character, who, if you haven't seen the rest of the show, that character who comes out and is like, hey, where are you guys going? And then starts talking, and then he realizes that they've left. Yeah. That character is a guy who thinks he's a vampire who's been living in their utility closet. And that one episode that's just revealed, and there's like, wait, how has he been eating? Or like, how does he live in there? And it's like, there's no explanation. It's just funny.
You know he's on
like
the Great
cartoon.
British Bake Off now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. So I saw it in reverse. I saw the Great British Bake Off, and then I saw this, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it's the guy from the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah. Well, that guy, and that guy, he's like a British comedian who's been in like tons of things.
As
Britain,
he should
but it's
be.
Not,
he's also
not super well known.
Yeah, he was. I was going to say the Great Buckaroo, but that's not right. I can't remember what the name. Of, he
Luke, you're the Great Buckaroo.
A Mighty Boosh. That's what it is.
The Mighty Boosh.
Mighty
yeah.
Boosh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's been a ton of stuff.
Yeah,
and he's also like those like panel shows that are huge in Britain.
Yes.
He's one of those guys who's like always on those.
Yeah.
As is Richard Ayoade, who's
so
the funniest motherfucker on the planet.
So we'll get into the plot. The only thing I wanted to say was first of all, I watched the show and it was like really good and really funny. Like basically when this episode started, within the first 5 minutes, like the hair on my arm started to go up the first time I saw it, because I was like, oh, this episode is like way better than every previous one. And like, I mean, the show has been great, but like this is like, I was like, I think this is like a classic.
Yeah.
This is so good. And then the second thing is that when she turns around to get the drink the bartender is Moss, that is might be the hardest I've ever laughed.
It is so unbelievably good.
Everything that happens up to then is so good that I forgot about him.
Yeah.
And then when it's revealed what happened to him, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So
I tried to explain the plot to Michelle yesterday. And
who is Michelle? Who is Michelle to you, Luke?
My spouse.
Never give them what they're looking for. That's right.
My wife.
Thank you.
I'm going to bastardize it a bit, but I mean, the basic premise is there's a guy, the three of them work together. This three people work together in the IT group. There's a guy who works at the company who starts hitting on the boss, the female boss, and he invites her out to a show. And because the two of them have no ability to read social cues, they invite themselves along, the other two guys.
So good.
And so as he leaves, he's got like the guy says, I left like my OK magazine or my Us Weekly or whatever.
Wasn't
it
Heat? I think it was Heat.
Is it Heat? Yeah, but it's like the Us Weekly of
right.
No, know, no, England. I think it's an actual gay magazine.
Oh,
no, I think it was more like...
I think it's up in the air because they say like it's popular for gay people to read it, but it's not.
It basically or I thought it was more like, what's the one like that has like 10 sex tips or whatever? The
Cosmo?
I think it was closer to Cosmo.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, I interpreted it as like a female friendly, but, you know, men can read it.
Okay.
And so they were like, oh, he's gay. And so there was right away, I was like, oh, no, this is going to be one of those. I'm going to laugh. I'm also going to be like, we did not learn our lesson.
Right.
And we didn't know better, blah, blah, blah. But to counter that, when they're like, oh, well, we'll go see a show tonight, and they're like, it'll probably be a gay show. And they're like, oh. And again, I was like, oh, no. And they go, and the name of the show is Gay the Musical, a gay musical. And so it's like, oh, they just dial it up to just be, to not beat around the bush and to, you know, to play with stereotypes.
And one of the characters loves the show. Like, that is not the joke of the show. The joke of the show is the guy gay? They're not putting it on people being gay is funny, you know?
Right. It could have gone bad, and it didn't.
It could have gone bad. Yes. I think the fact, and this is like threading that needle that we talked about, the Chris O'Dowd's character is uncomfortable with it, but like Moss, like we said, he loves it. I love when he's like, this is awakening things in me that I didn't or whatever. Like, he loves it. And then she doesn't care. She just is trying to figure out whether or not her date is gay or not.
Right.
She doesn't care either way.
I love the part where the lights come up. Like, they are so good at just ratcheting it one dial at a time until it is insane. But when they're like, they're trying to, Chris O'Dowd is trying to leap, and then they bring up the house light so that they can do a little crowd work. Right. And Moss is just like, I've noticed his butt. Like, it's, I'm not sexually interested in it, but yeah, I see it. Like,
when
it's just like,
you know, Silver.
Yeah, he's just like open and honest about it. It was awesome.
I love trying to figure out what the show was about, because it made no sense. It was a series of scenes about being gay, and that was it. And
the dates hooping and hollering, like how crazy he's into the musical.
So good.
Yeah.
So. One of the songs is called I Love Willies.
Yes. And then
that's great. So. So then we didn't even get to the actual meat of it, which is that then both Chris O'Dowd's character, Roy.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. So Roy and Moss both have to go to the bathroom. They go into the bathroom. There's a bathroom attendant, which is something I very much can relate to.
Oh, that's right. That's what it is, the bathroom attendant.
The look on his face for a guy with no lines, he fucking nails it.
Yeah.
So they can't go because the guy's watching them the whole time.
And he's very aggressively mean looking. Like, they can't go.
Right. So Chris O'Dowd, Roy goes into the handicapped stall, the handicapped bathroom, which they call the disabled bathroom, because it's Britain. And then Moss goes into the staff bathroom. And so Roy gets caught, and in order to not admit that he went into the bathroom when he should not have, the handicapped bathroom, he tries to quickly play it off, but then gets to the point where he says that he is in a wheelchair and that his wheelchair was stolen.
Yes.
And so everyone believes this.
Yeah.
It's one of the great like choices that is not explained but also makes perfect sense, where he has a different voice than he's pretending.
Yes.
So he's like, I'm disabled. He has this like weird high pitched
like
voice.
There's
he keeps
fear,
saying,
you can
I'm
hear
disabled.
Fear in the voice as he's speaking.
And the thing is, what's so great about that too is not only is it like two guys who just put themselves in the situation, right? They could have gotten whatever, but they also could have just been like, sorry, it was full and I went in here, or I said he's the best. And so they don't. They're just like, I would rather ride out the uncomfortableness of everything that happens. Because then he says he's been attacked, and so they try to like
find, they call the police.
They give him a new wheelchair.
Right.
The joke.
Go ahead. Oh, no, I was only going to say, it's such a great, in retrospect, such a great choice, because, of course, him saying that he's in a wheelchair and he doesn't have a wheelchair, he can't just, like, get up and walk away.
Right.
So he has to, like, lay on the floor. Like, he's totally trapped. If he has to get up and, like, leave, he will, like, burst the lie. So he's, like, and it just, each, and like we said, each moment, because then, like, well, we took up a collection to buy you a wheelchair. And he's like, you don't really need to do that. Yeah. It's fine. And then, like, the other guy who saw him, there's, like, the date's friend, like, saw him walking around in the beginning, so he's like, oh, you, and he like pours him out of the
Irish
someone else.
Yes,
right. He thinks they're all joking, so he flips another person out
who actually is
like,
disabled.
Each moment just keeps ratcheting and ratcheting.
Well, and then the star,
it's so funny.
This isn't even what I was gonna say, but just in terms of ratcheting, and then the star gets her picture for the paper with
it. Yes.
The standard.
There's a great one. They do it twice, but like, they put him on like the thing that rises him up into the bus.
He goes so slow
and takes so long.
And then he gets to the top
and they're like, "No, come back in," and they slowly lower it back down.
And by the way, great. This is all halfway through the episode. This is like a pivot from 15 minutes in. Like the whole disabled doesn't start until you're halfway through. Like the thing that made me laugh so hard was like he pulled on the chain like you'd pull on like an old toilet, and then the camera just pans up and it says emergency.
Yeah,
that's right. I forgot. Yeah. That's how it starts.
That's how it all starts.
Yes, he tries
to flush it and it's not flushing, and he looks up and pulls up and it says emergency. And then it's the moment he knows it says emergency, you're bang 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 on the door, and then he's trapped.
And then
the
other classic joke where he describes like a redheaded bearded glass, like he describes a guy who you don't think exists, and then they pull him aside and like, and that's all. They just pull a guy aside who looks like a tall redheaded bearded glassed man. And they're just like, could you come with us? And that's the end of it.
That is so great. I mean, that is like the old, there's a Simpsons where Krusty the Clown fakes his death.
Yeah.
And so to find him, they blow up a balloon of Krusty to show
with the face.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, that's Handsome Pete. Like they blow it up, but not all the way. So they're like, that's Handsome Pete. And it's this little guy who looks like Krusty if he was only inflated halfway.
All of this is happening while the main woman who is wondering about if she's on a date with a gay man
I've ever seen in my life.
So she sees that him in a wheelchair backstage. So her world is completely thrown. And then she pivots and looks to the bar. And if somebody wants to tell that piece, go for it.
Dan.
Oh, well, he just says, can you get me a drink? So we hear that Moss is going to go into the staff bathroom. We see him come out. And there is an employee of the theater standing there. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? Like, get back to work. Yeah. That's all we see. Yeah. We don't see anything else. So Roy says, can you get me a drink? So she turns around to the bar and says, can I have a double whiskey or whatever she says? And the camera flips around and it's Moss in a bartender top and be like, yes, sir. And she's just like, what the fuck? But what's so great and what's such a great, like not over-explaining or having, like, respect for the audience is that clearly Moss has had a similar adventure off camera where he had to like pretend that he was a bartender
Fine
and
they
had a uniform and all this stuff and he's pretending to be a bartender, and it's like, oh yeah, by the way, this has also been going on, and we just reveal it at its conclusion.
Yeah, and I love that the boss too was just like, oh, I knew this would happen.
Yeah,
I knew this was gonna be the result.
Yes.
And then a very nice visual gag, because like your mind is spinning on all of this, and then Moss turns and shatters like 10 rows of glasses.
Right.
Like,
because he doesn't know how to be a bartender.
Completely not expecting it. And it
Well, no, it's even worse. He pulls a glass from the bottom of the pyramid. Yes. As opposed to being like, oh, I'll go to the top.
They all
what a
shatter.
Fucking idiot.
Yes.
I love it so much.
I just want to go back for one half a second because we need to talk about the comic genius that is Chris O'Dowd in that slowly raising thing in the wheelchair into the bus. He scrunches his body and his face and he's like looking at them leaving. You know, it's that kind of thing like, if you just leave, I can leave, but they won't leave. And so he's just like, goodbye. Disabled.
And the wait staff the theater staff waving at him too is so good. Like, because it takes something that is, you know, we're all uncomfortable about it, or we don't do well with people who are disabled. We don't. We're just a terrible society who can't accept that you can be a normal human being if you're actually in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And so they treat him like he is special, as in
they think they're doing a really good thing with all the things that they're doing.
There
for
is,
him.
And there's that subtle commentary of how, like, there's a subtle commentary of like how you or people will patronize people.
Yes,
like, right. They're being very patronizing. Yes.
But Chris O'Dowd, instead of, you know, like standing up for his quote unquote rights, just double downs into being that special person. So it's like they are. he is so. God damn funny. Like, he is, his face is just, it launches 1,000 chips. But I could watch this 1,200 times and still
it's
laugh
so great.
as hard as I did.
Did you ever see, there's a movie called Amazon Women on the Moon?
Mm-mm. Yes.
It's a great, great movie. It's a sketch movie, and it's a series of vignettes with like famous people. But there's a sketch in it with Kelly Preston and Ralph Bellamy and this young guy. And so, and it's with Kelly Preston. It's from the 80s. Kelly Preston is like, and I think it takes place in like the 60s. And so Kelly Preston is the pretty girl, and she and this guy are drive up to the pharmacy, and she's like, okay, go in there and ask for Titans condoms. And so he's like, oh, okay. And he goes in, and behind the counter, like, he's about to go to like a young pharmacist to get condoms, and the guy taps him out, and it's Ralph Bellamy. And he's just like, oh, hello, Rick. I haven't seen you since your mom came in here to put talcum on your bottom. What can I get for you? You know, and it just keeps building up, building up. And then, you know, and he's just like, I don't want to, you know, oh, I don't know if I need this or that. You know, and he's like, what about shaving cream? Oh, wait a minute. You're too young to shave. What am I talking about? And then he looks, he keeps like looking back and seeing the girl, but he can't, whatever. And so he finally... It's like, I need condoms, Titans condoms. And the old man's like, I'm sorry, what did you say? And he's like, I need Titans. And just as he says Titans, a banner drops down and says like Titans 100th customer or whatever. And there's like, you know, streamers and a giant guy in a condom outfit comes out. And, you know, they're like, and Ralph Bellamy just starts laughing. And the girl in Kelly Preston just like leaves. And it reminded me of that, where it was that thing of like, just let's pile on as much terrible shit as we can. Well, you know, like if I'd known
like
who
improv.
That, yes, yeah, they like also, that actress who I don't know who she was, but he was like, Catherine, I just want to meet. Yeah.
Oh right, Laura Knightley, I think was her name.
Right, because I kept thinking she was Keira Knightley, and she's not.
She gives him tickets to come back the next day.
Yes.
this episode is top three, dude. Like this is
yeah, it's really
like
good.
Looking at the list. Honestly, like. Dinner Party rivals it in my mind. Maybe the monorail rivals it in my mind. Maybe I can't think of much else.
Keaton, but it wasn't on the list.
I would say, yeah. And if you, I don't know if you guys have watched more.
I have. We watched a couple after. I think you picked maybe the best, at least from what I've seen so far. But like every episode has good stuff. Like it's good.
Well, I was only saying because after this episode is that Matt Berry joins the cast after this. He becomes the new boss.
Yes.
And I mean, Matt Berry, you really can't go wrong. A guy can read the phone book and get laughed. So
he's
the
son of the owner. He goes to the funeral.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. They switch out the.
He's
funny. The boss.
I don't know Matt Berry from anything. What is he?
He's in. I know he's in like.
What We Do in the Shadows. He's in it. He's so good.
I got to get on that. I know.
Guys. Yeah. Next time. We talk. You should have seen at least an episode because it's.
Well, we've got a big show next time. So can it be the next time after?
Sure. But it's does that deliver. I mean, he's basically the one joke thing, but he's just always like.
Who cares?
It's so good. Yeah, but he's a big British guy because he Garth Murray's Dark Place was Matt Berry, which is a very funny, very weird show. Which was the premise was that. He's like a Stephen King style author who made this show in the 80s and he's going to like, but no one had ever seen it. So he's going to show it to you. And it's like, has all these like weird continuity errors. Like the show makes no sense. It's like a weird like meta thing. And he had his own sketch show for a while, I think in Britain. So
I see clips of him in sketch show with, I think Richard Ayoade too. And
yes. Oh my gosh. They're definitely,
they were together.
They worked together all the time.
Richard Ayoade is in something. What was that stand? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Okay, well,
he was in Neighborhood Watch. It was very weird.
Yes.
Something modern.
He's been in a few things. Yeah, it's funny, like him, I mean, I feel like him and Chris Dowd and even like Matt Berry, like those are guys that keep trying to break in America and it's just not working.
Dowd, after Bridesmaids, I was really shocked he didn't hit. Like he was great in Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they all definitely are like not an acquired taste, but they do have a very specific style that might be a little hard to
Their brand has to be like super strong, I think, to break through. And they're a little more, I don't want to say passive, but I get what you're saying. Like they're a little offbeat. But
have you ever seen the American version of the pilot?
I have, yes.
It is.
Who's in it? Anybody we would know? Like, yeah. not yes. we would know. I mean, stars. Who's in it?
So no, literally, who we would know. Jessica St. Clair is the boss.
Oh,
friend of the pod. The boss.
Friend of the pod. Jessica St. Clair.
Richard Aoti Moss plays himself again. Oh. Yeah. In the American version, and then it is Luke
Joel McHale. Joel as Roy.
I like Joel McHale. How does he do?
I love him so much.
He's okay.
Yeah,
it's not good.
No, I mean it suffers from like the Office.
Yeah.
I'm being Americanized, you know, like they never got a chance to find their footing or their
flaws ground. Bigger than the casting, perhaps.
It's literally the same pilot. Yeah. Because you can find YouTube clips where they're side by side. Yeah. I mean, obviously there's minor differences.
Right.
But it's basically the exact same script, which is what they did with the Office pilot.
Yeah.
By the way. So exact same script for the pilot. And I don't know, people like the crap on it. I mean, I think it's fine. I think much like the Office, they, you know, if it had been picked up, they probably would have found their footing. Good people.
Did they
there.
Just
but
make
it,
a pilot?
It was only
like,
ever
did
the pilot.
Did get like the pilots as far as
it was only a pilot. Yeah.
Well,
it didn't get
I mean, the Office, like you said, almost didn't get there anyway.
And then searching around just before we started, apparently there was a German version that only has two episodes for whatever reason. So I don't know what the deal with that is. I found a clip online of it, and it's a guy who's dressed like Moss.
Who's does German. He have a wig to make the hair look?
Yes, he does. Oh, yes, no, he has a big wig just like Moss. So.
Well, it's you know, I there. I don't know
that's
if it's
what it is.
Well, our dog is barking.
No, but there's this really great book that Luke and Dan, your kids may enjoy mm-hmm. It's called The Bad Guys.
Mm.
It's a really great little graphic novel that unfortunately our kids grew out of, but it's so funny, and he is Richard Aoti is in it, but the star is my favorite person on the planet except for you three, blah blah blah. Sam Rockwell.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's very cool. It looks like it's going to be a great animated movie. So.
Oh, cool, cool, cool. I'll check that out.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. I was just going to say about the IT crowd. I think there is a stupidity level and a weirdness level that is too cartoonish, I think, for American audiences. Mm. Like, there's a certain level of belief that. At the time, I think needed to be more grounded in reality for American audiences to really pick up on it. That's my two cents.
Not Simpsons. The Seinfeld mm-hmm. was one of those things that you shouldn't have worked at all. Then.
Seinfeld never went as absurd as this show, I don't think. Some weird things happen, like Kramer. Kramer is a pimp when he's walking with the jacket and stuff.
Well,
like
yeah,
that,
I mean Seinfeld over time. I think. You know, I just mean right from the get go. I always think it weird that she doesn't understand, like, how to turn a computer on. Or
yeah, I kind of didn't
that
get that. Because aren't they supposed to all split the IT calls? But no, she just oversees them?
No. So the pilot is that she has an interview with the boss character, and she's like, she's clearly not getting the job, and he says something about computers, and she's like, oh, I know computers. And he's like, oh, you know computers? Like, oh yeah, I know all about this, that, the other thing. And they go, okay, great, like, you can be the new head of the IT department. She doesn't know anything about computers.
She lied her way into it.
So that's the joke, that they literally just stick her because no one else wants the job.
So she really needs those two guys in a way.
Yes.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
That's a nice relationship then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole joke is they don't do anything all day.
Yeah.
Like, they just sit around, like, and occasionally they tell people to turn it on and off again.
Right.
But otherwise.
But
like,
her level of lack of knowledge of computers, especially for somebody so young, is perplexing.
Yes.
Mm. And it's cartoonish. Yeah. You know, like, she.
It's cartoonish.
Yeah.
There's an episode where they. I forget, she wants to do something with the internet and they don't want her to. So they give her a box with a blinking light and they tell her it's the internet.
Right.
In a later episode, someone breaks it and she freaks out because she thinks the internet is gone.
Right.
Like, it's very funny, but it is a tone that's hard to maintain. Yeah. Like, you can easily go one way or the other and not work, but they managed to keep it going.
Yeah.
So, I you know, this is a funny episode. And I think this episode, so just to finish, I just wanted to say that then it ends with, Roy getting put back on the bus. Again, they do the very slow thing. And then you know, the bus driver's like, all right, guys, let's get a sing-along. It's a long drive to Manchester, which I assume is
right,
far.
Right, yeah,
I
know. His eyes go wide when he hears that.
And then they're just like, Willies, Willies, I love Willies, as they're driving away. And then it ends. The last scene is Moss is suddenly like the swallowest bartender over.
Yes.
And he's like, goodbye, Jane. Oh, good seeing you. You know, whatever. See you tomorrow. And he's like, the theater. And just knocks over all, like a million glasses all fall over. And that's how it ends.
That's so great. So,
I mean, this is unquestionably.
How it ends is that she goes home with the guy and like, oh, she says all the reasons why he's gay. And he's like, no, I'm not gay. And then he starts crying and says, I am gay, aren't I?
Right. Well, because he shames her at first, being like, oh, a man can't read like a musical like this. And she's like, oh, yes, of course. And he's like, no, I am gay. I've been trying so hard to fight it. And I wanted to go out with you because you kind of look like a man.
Oh,
which is a callback to something that was said way early.
Yeah. And she just walks away. She goes, taxi, and walks away. So,
I hope everybody watches this and then listens to this podcast.
Gotcha. I do think this is in the pantheon of great episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about it just works perfectly. It's so.
I mean, maybe
so
it's not on the list because it just didn't break through in America. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
the one British show that they put on, which I absolutely adore. Do not get me wrong.
The Office.
No.
Well, they did put The Office.
Yeah,
on.
But
okay. The Office, the UK Office.
The other British show, the. Didn't they put the one with Simon Pegg?
Well, there's Flight of the Conchords. Oh, Space.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And it is a great episode, too.
Yeah.
I would put it in the top five, honestly, because that really, really is funny.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this one just hadn't been seen enough.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you fixed it, Dan.
Yeah. Thank you for
I assume you emailed everybody who wrote that list and submitted this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
I mean, I went to their houses.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. Commitment.
Yeah, and left threatening notes.
Nice.
I mean, they're TV critics. It wasn't that hard to intimidate them.
You took away their remote control.
Yeah.
See what it did.
Exactly. All right. So that was the IT crowd. I don't know what we're doing next time.
We are doing The Office versus The Office. Will it be two episodes? Perhaps. But we, all of us, Dan,
I will try to be
sorry for our dog, by the way, everybody who's annoyed by the dog barking.
That's Cavalier. Okay. He's very upset with
someone
probably
walking by. He probably saw another dog is what happened.
Yeah.
Never a person. Would not attack any of you.
Anywho, The Office.
So we are all coming up with an episode to say why this office is better than this office, or are they the same? Or, well, I don't know. It's versus, though. That's the VS, which I spelled wrong on a tweet. I apologize for that. At Mo Lykowski. Go check it. Anyway, so that's what we're doing next week.
Nice.
All right.
Yay. Sounds good.
Take us home.
Maybe.
All right. Make sure I want to take us home.
Oh, my God, you guys. It has been a long time since I said this. Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm just kidding. Thank you so much for listening to another F and Not podcast about sitcoms. I am your host, Michelle Lykowski.
I'm Stan Lykowski.
I'm Luke Ward.
I'm Dan, the producer.
And we would love it if you would rate, and subscribe and share with your friends. That's it.
Cool. Bye.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
This has been another effing podcast about sitcoms. The music for our theme song is by Ryan Satoy, and the lyrics and vocals are by our own Michelle Lykowski. Our logo was created by Luke Ward. Follow us on Instagram, and if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, well, we'd certainly appreciate it. Another effing podcast about sitcoms will return in this time slot next week.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.